Welcome back to another episode of Chats with Clark. Here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. So if you're looking for a poppy intro, I hate to let you down. We get straight to business. Today I have the luxury of interviewing who people reference as the nicest kid on campus. Probably the nicest kid people have ever met, Sean Patterson. Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Joe. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. Sean had reached out and said he wanted to have a little conversation, and we're going to turn it into a quick interview session. So I'm really glad to have him here. Sean is a great dude. Sean, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm here in Campion Hall with Joe. I have the honor of being, working with Joe here in Campion, welcoming the first-year students here at John Carroll at this this great school. I'm very thankful to be here. Met so many people I really look up to. And I'm grateful for, my parents who give me this chance and my siblings, my three younger siblings. I think about them every day and they motivate everything I do. I want to do my best for them and, keep meeting new people and trying to do my best for them.
That's great. Yeah, you have a keen sense of gratitude, which is something that, I appreciate. So what do you think developed that sense of gratitude for you?
It's just a way of life. That's always been something constant in my life, being thankful for the things you have, whether it's good times, bad times. You can always look back and say, this is my family. We're here for each other no matter what. And it's a lifestyle. It makes a big influence, keeps you grounded, and helps you do good for others as well.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Hey, you have a real, humble sense about you. Everyone, truly everyone does reference you as the nicest kid on campus. What do you think causes that? How does it feel when people talk about you in such a way?
Well, it's it's not always true by far, but it's something we aspire to. I think that one big thing is welcoming people, just taking a genuine interest in other people, what they have to say. People forget what you say, they never forget how you make them feel, and just being there for them, talking about what they're interested in. That's a great way to make friends and deepen connections and bring out the best in others.
Yeah. What do you think are the skills that you use to bring out the best in other people?
I think listening is a big one, gratitude, and also just being sincere with people, not saying stuff to impress people, just taking the time to listen, see what gets them going and motivated, asking them to tell about themselves and, offering to help if they need it, just being there for them, being approachable, open, all those things add up, just making people feel special and, not being above anybody, just with them and for them.
Yeah, absolutely. With and for. I mean, what a great way to put it, too. Listening to you and just hearing what you say is such an honor, because what I really appreciate is this thing that you talk about, this authenticity that you talk about, and you're such an authentically good guy, right? So often we come across people and it's I'm a good person or they do these good things, but sometimes you question the motive behind it. But it's not really like that with you. Everyone can recognize that you truly just are a good guy.
Well, I think we all have influences, For me, my family is a huge part of that. My parents and grandparents who I just aspire to do what they do every day. Just live good, humble lives, aimed at love and, devotion to what matters, to each other. We all have influences. Nobody lives alone. We have to learn by reading, by study, by applying ourselves to that vision we have of ourselves in the future, sacrificing who we are for what we could become. And, you gotta find your role models and try to emulate their best qualities, nobody acts alone. We're all in this together.
Yeah. What is it that you love about your grandparents and your parents? What is it that you want to embody? You talk about them and say that they have devotion to what matters and those kind of things, but what do you notice that they do that you want to...
Absolutely. I think they just live, none of us are perfect, but they have those values, they have faith and love, they're not at the top, it's not about being number one or getting ahead of people, it's about, not even about what you do, it's about how you do it, doing that with care and with love, people, they forget the honors, they forget the awards, what you say, they just remember how you make them feel and just bringing out the best in them. And, it's hard to explain sometimes just because it's so naturally for them. For me, it's there's a lot of searching, you know, about what we want to do, but for them, they've just always been devoted and caring, and I really look up to that. So.
Well, it seems like it's completely natural for you, too, for anyone that has the luxury of knowing you. It's very much so that way. Like, I met Sean last year. Sean is a sophomore, and this is my senior year, so my luxury of knowing Sean in a school capacity is only going to be a two short, quick years, but I knew Sean last year, and everyone knew very quickly that one with Sean on campus that he was just like this nice, like genuinely confident, happy guy, right? Like there, it takes a lot to say that someone is so happy that everyone recognizes you as literally the nicest kid on campus. That is so impressive. Like what an accolade too. It's funny because like of course there's people that are smart, there's people that are crazy athletic, but out of all the things to be complimented with, to be the nicest kid is something that I think all people would want, right?
You know, I think so, but, you know, like I said, you just have to, be there for those who don't feel welcome, just be there. You know, when I came into John Carroll, it was a big turning point for me, you know, just meeting great people, upperclassmen like Joe and many others who I just really aspire to be like them. And, you know, I came in undecided about a major. I'm doing English now, but just trying to take it day by day, but at the same time having a clear vision, because when we don't have goals, we feel restless. We have to be focused and write down those goals, you know, have a drive and a vision. But, yeah, just beginning college with a lot of great people has been good. Yeah.
So you talk about this transformation from when you came in, and it's been such a monumental decision for you, and now you talk about English, right, and you're referencing how that is something that you're really enjoying and that you're studying. What caused you to recognize that? Like, how did you discover who you are? And of course, there's this Matthew McConaughey version of like aspiring to be your personal hero in 10 years. I think many of us have heard that speech. And if you haven't, it's just basic premise. Or McConaughey suggests his hero is himself in 10 years. And then of course, in those 10 years, his hero is still himself in the next 10 years. And you kind of reference that. And, how did you discover who you are? When did you discover who you are? What caused this confidence in studying English for you, this transformation in the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think that's a huge question. How did you discover who you are? I think a lot of people in college would say, they would laugh, they'd say, what are you talking about? I haven't found that yet. But I think it's there's a lot there. It's a big question. It's kind of easy to know who you are, you know, if other people think highly about you. It's easy to, you know, have a certain amount of pride or, you know, focus on the wrong things. It's a lot harder to face who you are. You know, it's easy to know who you are. It's a lot harder to face who you are. And knowing that how much we rely on others to bring out the best in us and how others rely on us, you know, with the job that we have, you know, their happiness, their sadness depends on our actions. Are we going to be there for them, or are we going to withdraw too much? You know, it's important to, you know, take time for yourself and, you know, advance towards your career and your studies, all that, but at the same time, you gotta reach out to people and make sure that they can become involved on campus and, you know, reach fulfillment and what matters to them as well. So in helping others, I think that we help ourselves. We find out what we want to do, what we want to study. You know, we learn a lot by reading, by discussing, you know, by speaking. That's something that we missed during quarantine, is just speaking, articulating what's on our mind, you know, listening to others, making that eye contact, shaking their hand, all that makes a big difference. Just that interconnection between people.
What do you think connects people at its core? And this servile nature that you have is apparent, and it's beautiful. So you
I think what connects people is just that self-knowledge, that difference of who we are and what we could become, you know. We all have that ideal, that vision of ourselves in the future, and everybody's trying to get there in some way. And I think that really what connects us is trying to, you know, run towards that finish line and bring other people along with us.
Yeah. What does the finish line look like for you? I mean, you're in the middle of the race. Like, the race is a very long race, but what does the finish line look like for you?
I think it's just being content with where you're at with yourself, you know, having a good, you know, you just feel at peace with yourself in your career, in your relationships, your involvement, hobbies, all that is just you know, and nobody ever truly reaches it till the end of our lives and we look back. But I think it's good to meet good people, influence people, but at the end of the day, you have to look at yourself in your mirror, know whether or not you gave your best, whether or not you held back or went all in towards that finish line.
Great.
Yeah.
Sean, so you had talked to me about potentially starting a podcast, so there might be another rendition of Chats with Clark here coming out, and we're all excited for that. I encourage anyone who thinks about starting a podcast to start a podcast, because I think it's something that is so cool and really so popular right now, too. Like, people love listening to podcasts, and I think it's because of this interconnectedness that you talk about. It's this dynamic that we somehow can relate to one another. Mm-hmm. What would your podcast be about? What would you do on it? Who would be your guests? Would you have guests? What's the Sean Patterson podcast about?
Yeah, guests for sure, you know, being interconnected. My podcast would be about my family. I think there's truly some remarkable people in my family who have lived such great, humble, and devoted lives. I think about my grandparents especially. You know, in their families, in their work, they just go after it every day, Joe. Just, you know, they live out those values. They try to, you know, go full speed towards everything they do. And I would just say, like, what was their education like, their upbringing? How did they kind of come to know themselves and, you know, find what it is that they love to do and devote themselves to, you know, find something worthy of devoting their life to? I would interview, you know, grandparents, aunts, uncles. I think it would be just great to talk to them, have a more, you know, deeper conversation, because sometimes, you know, we miss gatherings, we miss the large gatherings, seeing each other at birthday parties, you know, things like that. But just having that deeper connection, I think they have so much to share. So that's what I would do, family members.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy, because, like, do you have a big family?
Yeah.
It sounds like it. It's so funny how, like, you can tell, like, people...
Yeah.
People who have huge families, I feel like you don't get sick of each other, it sounds like. For whatever reason, because it's like there's so many of you. I don't know what it is, but I mean, my family's big too, and we all love getting together.
Yeah.
It's just the best. You know what I mean? You get that family time. Oh, man.
What do you guys like to do? What's the Clark family gathering?
Dude, there's a lot of games that get played. There's a lot of food that gets eaten. yeah, my grandma, my aunts, they all know how to cook. Everyone knows how to cook. And so there's a lot of eating, there's a lot of games that are played. A lot of 31. It's a card game that we play.
Oh, yeah.
You play 31,
love
too?
That game, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, it's good. What do you guys do?
31, Rummy.
Rummy, nice. Yeah. Euchre. Dude, you guys are legit. I'm like, God. What? So, walk us through one of these family gatherings. Walk us through what the conversations, who are your closest people in your family?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I just think of, like, you know, birthday or Memorial Day, Christmas, stuff like that. You know, I think of visiting my grandparents, either... on either side of my family, we, you know, have a nice meal together, just check in, see how everyone's doing at school, you know, like any family gathering. If it's nice, we'll go outside, throw the frisbee, do some cornhole, love that.
Cornhole, got to.
You know, just, like you said, have a nice meal, play some cards, and another big thing is music, you know, listening to Irish music. It's always in the background at the Patterson house, you know, it's, just the way we stay connected. Those songs have a ton of good messages, a good beat, and that's another way that we bond with people, you know, through sounds, through language. It's like a poem set to music, but you think nothing of it, you know, it's just in the background, but it becomes so meaningful and ingrained in your mind, those messages, and, you know, just those small moments that we share together.
These grandparents that you talk about, are they both Irish?
Oh, yeah, 100% Irish, you know. Both of them. Both my great-grandmothers came from County Mayo, so... St. Patrick's Day is a favorite holiday, you know, we spend time together, we're all about love, loyalty, friendship, and just very, very proud of that, and where we came from, you know, in order to know where we're going, we have to know where we came from, you know, stay grounded, and, but yeah, family gatherings are great.
So. They are great.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about this. Do you have, like, Irish dancers in your family? I'm fascinated. I love
people's
histories.
Yeah, you know, my sister dabbled in Irish dancing a little bit, like the jigs and the feshes, you know, all that stuff, you know, real upbeat music. That wasn't my thing, you know, I just ran and stuff, but, and then, you know, mostly just the music. We go to the Irish festivals, and I think, even if you're not Irish, there's a lot to be learned from the songs, from, you know, the struggles that they face. I think, you know, no matter where we came from, we all have ancestors who sacrificed a great deal, you know, for us to be at school, to be at our jobs, whatever it might be. You know, we can all look back, and even if we've never met our family, we can look back and appreciate and show gratitude for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, dude, that's amazing, because the interconnectedness that we keep talking about, it goes that far. Like, when you have such an understanding of your history and an appreciation for those great-grandparents and beyond, that connects you all the more, because you all have that, and that's what it's about, and those stories are endless, dude.
Yeah.
Give us a story. What is, like, I'm sure there has to be countless stories from your family who is from Ireland, which is amazing. What is the most influential story that you've heard? Or maybe the craziest, most off the cuff, whatever you could think of, whatever story comes to mind. When I say, give me a story, what comes to your mind?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. You mean from, like, in Ireland, or?
Whatever. Okay. Either. Yeah, I'm just picturing, like, let me tell you what I'm picturing. Yeah. With the cliche, you probably have a Guinness in your hand, and you're at the table, and you guys are playing cards, and grandma or grandpa start saying what?
I think of a time that, there's so many that come to mind. Like, when there's this mountain called Crowpatrick. It's in County Mayo. It's where, according to legend, St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. My dad scaled that thing, and, like, half the time it usually takes other people. I remember one time my dad was there with my grandpa. They got, like, exclusive access to this golf course. They just played a few rounds of golf. My grandpa's always like, oh, I wish I had my camera, you know, just fields and fields of green, you know, for miles on it.
Wow.
But just bonding over that sport, music, our heritage. I think that, you know, traveling to where you came from is a big thing. But
have you been to Ireland?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Yeah. I love the way you put it, not yet.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
But
is that the top place you want to go to?
Ireland, Italy, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Ireland would be number one.
I mean, no knock on all the rest of the places, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But,
dude, you should go.
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
Possibly, you know, it might be a few years off, but
heck yeah, but
gotta finish up my studies. But yeah, like you said, you know, just visiting those places, and it would be great.
Would you ever study abroad there?
Possibly. I think there's a lot to be learned, you know. Yeah, it's but right now, you know, we're here just trying to do our best. Where are you from? Where did you come from? Where do you consider home, you know?
Dude, yeah. My grandpa's Irish. Through and through, Irish, same thing. He's great. It's the most amazing thing is just, like, the energy that Irish people have. I swear, I don't know. Yeah. There's something about Irish energy that's really great. My grandma is Italian and German and the whole nine yards. So it's everyone's good. We are really close and have developed our own traditions, like the soups that we eat on different food or stuffed meatballs. Or, oh my God, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me, I would just all bring a smile to my face and talk about family. I think
that's
about
great.
It the same way.
That's great.
Yeah. Dude, so you keep referencing music, and we talked about the Irish music. Do you play any instruments or anything? What is it about music that you specifically like?
I dabbled in music. I piano lessons for a few years. I played the Irish fife. It's kind of like a flute. It has like six holes. It's a wind instrument. Played that in the parade for a few years, actually. I marched with my good friend Sean, you know, for a few years there. We'd go to Mass down at St. Coleman's, and then we'd ride a bus over to the parade, march down Superior. Did that for a few years.
Yeah.
You know, music, I just think that, you know, like I said, a poem set to music, it has a good message. You can share it. It's like a common language almost, you know. No matter how you're feeling, you can always go back to it, you know, stay grounded that way.
What's your favorite Irish song?
Oh, that's a good question. There's too many. I would say my favorite Irish song, my favorite band's the Wolf Tones, Boston Rose would be the song.
Boston Rhodes?
Boston Rose.
Rose,
like the
okay.
flower.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
When I was a kid, I knew that song by heart. You know, I think we all have these songs or experiences that we kind of are drawn to in our childhood, and then we don't fully know the meaning of it till many years later. It's the same, you know, with like a book or a movie, you know, or a song, you know. When you're young, you learn the lyrics, you know, whether they're happy, whether they're sad, but then when you're older, you know the meaning of those words.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're watching this on YouTube, I will put the link below to Boston Rose. So don't click away yet, but when you do finish this interview, head to the link below, click Boston Rose, check it out. What is the meaning of Boston Rose?
It's
are there even words, first and foremost?
Yeah, it's okay. It's just about searching for love while, you know, staying true to your family. It just has a good beat to it, you know.
Yeah. But, Irish music always has that familial undertone to it. It's always like about loyalty to the family,
exactly,
which is cool.
You know, there's a great diversity in music. Some are like ballads, some are, you know, like rebel songs, like really rock, like hard rock. You know, it all depends on the mood. So, you know, just learning those lyrics, and a lot of that goes into the English as well. So studying that.
Sean, to tangent a little bit, you are a great runner. I see you running around campus sometimes. You just mentioned that you were a runner and less of an Irish dancer, per se. But...
Wait, you should see this guy playing basketball. He balls out in the gym every time I walk by, 2 hours a night. But
yeah, it's
I run
a,
every
there's
once
a lot
in
of time. What? Thank you for the comment, too. But what is it about running that you enjoy?
I think running is a good metaphor for life. I think... a lot of people know me as like a quiet person, a studious person, but I'm actually a high energy person. You know, I like that adrenaline. I think, you know, we need to channel our energy into something positive. You know, like I said, if we don't have goals, we're restless. Running is, I think, a good metaphor for life. You know, I ran like in high school, you know, just as a sport. You know, like my siblings are much better athletes, but you know, it's about having a lofty goal and then going out there and crushing it. You know, doing something that you didn't think you could do before. Like, you know, back when I was a senior, you know, in 2019, decided to do a half marathon, you know, trained for that every week. You know, that was two years ago. My priorities have changed a little bit. But anyway, I did this race. I got fourth place, you know.
Congratulations.
I missed third place by 5 seconds, but I wasn't disappointed because at the end, I passed someone. There's nothing more exhilarating than just going by, hawking someone at the very last moment. And often in life, that person you need to pass is yourself. You're the one who's holding you back, and you need to, you know, go after that person, overtake, you know, yourself, and just rise above your own limitations that you put on yourself. But it's a good metaphor for life, just staying grounded, setting those goals, getting out there every day.
Spoken like a great Englishman, someone who looks for the deeper meaning in everything, right? That is what we do as our English majors. Like, you and I both know that. You read a book, and it's never just the surface level. We always dive deep into it. So you love to run, okay, and it motivates you to set these goals, and you keep referencing these goals. How do you set your goals? Like, what do you do to say, this is my goal? How do you determine what your goals are?
Yeah, so actually, one thing I always go back to is the mission of my high school. We talk about, at St. Ed's, we talk about faith, excellence, relationships, servant leadership, and faith is always a big one, you know? You know, because if we lose faith, you know, we lose love, we lose hope, you know, we gotta stay grounded in what ultimately matters, you know, go after the right things, and that's not always easy to do. But another thing would be excellence, you know, trying to be diligent in our studies, you know. It's, you know, like I said, I have a long way to go. It takes a lot of practice, but also relationships, you know, like I said earlier, the big thing is relating to people on, you know, a deeper level, just getting to know who they are, taking an interest in them, I think is important. You know, being grateful for those friends that we do have, the friends yet to be, connecting with old friends, that means a lot to me. And when I set a goal, I always think about relationships. How is this going to improve my family, improve my relationships that I have already, form new ones? You know, that's always a big part of goal setting, because, you know, it's not just solitary. It always has to be, how are we affecting the world around us as well?
So, yeah. Do you write them down? Like, what is your method for achieving them?
Not always, you know. They say a goal not written is only a wish. I don't always write them down, but lately, you know, it's been career-focused and, you know, school-focused, you know. You know, we get in the grind in classes and everything. You know, you just want to do as well on this paper, this presentation, but I think the big thing is just finding other people to hold you accountable, finding a good group of friends, you know. Influential people who are older and wiser than you, like Joe right here.
Please.
You know, professors, teachers, parents, whoever it may be, just have someone who shares that vision with you, and you know, look to them for some advice, you know.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. There's, like, of course there's that age causes wisdom ideology that we all tend to agree with, and it's so true because you have so many experiences the more you grow. It's funny, I just gave a quick talk at a retreat, and that's what I kept talking about, is like when we tend to think that life gets harder or something as it goes on, but I don't think that's true. I just think that you get more experiences and more knowledge, right? Like every year you experience so much in a year that of course you're going to have so much to think about and so much to comprehend, and your experiences and your perspective is that much more vast. And I think that's like the most amazing thing. So to decipher what is a career calling and what is a goal for you and what is all of this is really impressive. You do it well. So.
I think it's great. You know, it's kind of like running or even basketball. It's not that it gets easier. It's that you get faster, you get stronger. It's a good metaphor for life. It's those things you repeatedly do. It's those small sacrifices, those routines that help us out. But I would ask you, you know, what was the turning point for you that you you know, you became wiser, you just had a renewed outlook, you know, with the whole podcast? When did you just start focusing on living more intentionally and sharing that with others?
Yeah, it's a great question, Sean. You know, I think once we recognize that a lot of things in life are out of our control, I tend to live with less worry. So for me, like as a person of faith, I don't think that we breathe until God tells us to breathe, right? Like, and that is the rawest way I can put it, because there's nothing guaranteed. And the idea is that once we turn our lives over, in my perspective, to God and live in a way that is with the awareness that I'm not guaranteed to finish this interview, like the reality of it. And I don't mean it in like a daunting, like, oh my God, it's so morbid way. It's not like that at all. Like I don't feel like I'm, you know what I mean? Like morbid, but it's rather that like, man, like, you know what? It's out of my control anyway. So I'm going to put like my all into it. I'm going to give trust where trust is due. And because of that, it allows you to recognize the things that are really important, which you keep talking about people in your life. You keep talking about making yourself better for others. That's the idea to me. Like, if there's, with this whole podcast, I love to speak. So you asked about like the podcast. I noticed that whenever I was presenting for class or whenever I had to give a speech or anything within that realm, I felt whole. I felt rejuvenated. I was elated about it. I got excited. Yeah. I don't get nervous. It's right up my forte. And because of that, I'm like, man, like I should start a podcast. I should put videos on YouTube, whatever. And if one person takes something that is remotely constructive or positive for their life, that ripple effects into other people, and then they're going to carry that on to someone else, and those people will carry it on to other people, and it just keeps going. And if it's the simple thing, if it's that comment I just made about breathing another breath, and whatever, if it's about your running analogy that you created towards life, anything that we say could potentially go on and influence another person. And that's like that's across the board. That's anything you say to someone you're talking to in the cafeteria. It's anyone that you bump into at the Dunkin' Donuts drive-through line. It's no matter where you are, anytime you're interacting with someone, whether it's literally like face-to-face like you and I are, or whether it's virtually like we are with the people that are at home watching this on YouTube or listening on whatever podcast platform you're listening to, it's an interaction. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's passive. Sometimes it's active. So there's so much that goes into a human being, and that never can be taken away. So that, I don't know, that's what it is to me. Like that's kind of mentality is what drives me, I would say.
That's great.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I appreciate the question.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I'm looking forward to the Sean Patterson podcast when it comes out, whatever you title it. But Sean, so I have like a real simple question that I think is kind of interesting. So by like, in my opinion, we observe other people and we dictate their actions as whether it's like, that's good, that's bad. You know what I mean? And we're like, I can learn from that. Nah, I can't. And that's just like our human minds. And it's so, I don't mean it like so cockily or so naive almost, but it's like, man, like there's a lot to learn from other people is really what I'm trying to say. So all that to say, what is the first thing that you do in the morning? You're a positive guy. You like other people. You're a person of faith. You are really driven. Like you're really motivated and you seem to really be on it. I've never seen you in a way where you weren't on top of it. At least you show that. So what is the first thing you do when you wake up?
The first thing I do when I wake up is give thanks, no matter what. If it's a thank you, God, if it's just thank you, if it's, you know, just something about giving thanks or gratitude, that's always my first instinct, you know, when I wake up in the morning, because then the rest of your day follows, you know.
Sweet.
I like to give thanks, you know. I like to say, you know, give thanks, say good morning if anybody's around. I think a good morning, a thank you is just so meaningful. It has that ripple effect like you talk about. If we start out our day the right way, it has a ripple effect on the rest of the day as well. You know, we influence people, then they influence people just by our positivity and gratitude first thing, I think.
Dude, sweet. Yeah, same thing. I wake up and I always, like, jump out of the bed right away. Like, I just get out of bed. I think I'll fall back asleep if I don't. Like, I force myself to stand up. And I was like, all right, another day. I'm like, thanks, here we go. And I'm always like that. I'm like, all right, we got another day. I'm like, let's get it.
That's
like,
great.
Yeah, it's just my thought. Yeah, like, I'm here. All right, let's go.
That's
right. And I love it. So that's a great way to do it. Anytime we can give thanks, we're grounding ourselves and we're placing deeper trust into the wholeness of life, which is powerful. And now, contrarily, what is the last thing that you do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the other night, English paper, you know, I create chaos for myself. You know, I don't always wait till the last minute, but I take till the last minute, you know, just scrutinizing every little thing. You know, sometimes we, you know how it is, Joey. We have those papers that we do that we worry about that, you know, is never quite finished, never quite complete. So I would say that compared to my mornings, the nights are a little less ordered, a little more chaos, a little more unpredictable. But even so, you know, I like to make a list for the next day at the very least. You know, if it's hourly, that's great. But even, you know, these are my top three things I got to do. These are people I want to meet with, you know, appointments, meetings I have to have, you know, stuff like that. You know, classes will always be in there, but and just doing something you love every day too, whether it's basketball, your podcast, it's important to do that as well.
Yeah. What are the other things that you love to do? You talked about running. What are the other things that fill the day? So you start it, you give thanks, you get up, you get rolling, you end it by saying, by writing down what you want to do the next day, what you have to do, you get kind of get all your ducks in a row, basically, which is nice because I like doing that too. It's so helpful the next morning. But so what fills the day? Of course, there's the classes and all the obligatory things, but what fills the day of the time that you have, more so the luxury of dictating?
Absolutely. So, you know, I like to get up fairly early in the morning. You know, the classes are scheduled, but a big part of it here and now at college, you know, as we have three weeks left here, is taking advantage of every opportunity to, like you talked about, have that ripple effect, meet somebody. So, like, even if you're walking to class, there's always somebody to say hi to, someone to hold the door for, you know, someone to greet. Even after class, you know, classes are always there, but you could stay another 30 seconds and say thank you. You can walk with somebody instead of walking alone. You know, it's those small things that really add up immensely and fill your time for the right reasons, you know. Instead of withdrawing, I think those things make a big difference. But other than that, you know, just doing events on campus, whether it's a social event, if it's a guest speaker, a guest lecture, I always love to learn from those who know so much more than I do. You know, learning if they have guest speakers, you know, things like that. You know, we have to be dutiful and diligent, but also take the time to form those connections. And that could happen in planned ways or unplanned ways as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's life, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that, like, we're like, I'm going to do this, and the next thing you know, you didn't even do that, and you end up doing something totally different, which is life. Wow. There's a lot of good stuff that you keep saying. I keep focusing on the phrase that you said, we have to be dutiful and diligent. What did you mean by that? To whom? To what?
That's great, you know, to others as well, to our superiors, you know, those, you know, whether it's our boss at work, our professor, you know, we have to respect them and, you know, be genuine with them, you know, respect their expertise, but also be accountable to those in our care. You know, if you have a younger sibling, if you have a student who needs your help, you know, a classmate who's reaching out who needs help. But I think the big thing is at the end of the day, you have to be accountable to yourself. You know, you can be in a good position. You can have a lot of friends. You can have a good job, a good career, a good family, but at the end of the day, if you haven't been sincere with yourself, if you haven't gone across that finish line at full speed, you know, you're left feeling empty and distressed. And I think that you have that duty towards yourself to give your very best and make the most of the opportunities that are given to you, and, you know, be diligent. And at the end of the day, only you know if you've given your best, if you've truly acted out on that gratitude. You know, it's one thing to say thanks, it's another to live that out.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I mean, what I think of when I talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do all have to grapple with what we've done. Yeah. Like, we're the ones that have to go to bed every night and think about what we did that day or did not do or what we're going to do. I mean, all those things. So that's really a great perspective. Now, because we're humans and because there are such quests to be dutiful, to be diligent, to be all these good things, there are, of course, times where we're not so diligent. What would you say is your biggest regret?
Biggest regret? I think it's related to the last question. I think it's the things we do not do that we regret more than things that we do. You know, the good deeds we left undone, the times that we could have said a nice word, done a good deed. I think one thing was, I'm just trying to think, like...
It's a loaded question. I mean, there's a lot there to unpack, so yeah. I understand. I mean, take a second. I mean, think about it. It's...
Yeah. I think I... regret not learning from those who are willing to teach me. Like, you know, I like to immerse myself in my studies here at school, you know, I like to get involved, you know, be on top of things. But learning from my family, from my parents at a young age, you know, sometimes I would go off and do my own things, like, you know, running, reading, you know, those are all good things. But, you know, I think, you know, our parents have, they've been through it before us. They're a lot wiser than we like to admit when we're young. But really, we have to look up to them and learn from them. So I just kind of regret just, you know, trying to get ahead of myself a little bit and just trying to find, you know, just try to, instead of taking it one step at a time, just try to jump ahead. And, you know, I think we regret the things that we do not do, the opportunities that are right in front of us. I mean, I'm not sure how it is for you. I mean, you seem to live with no regrets. I mean, I'd ask you, you're graduating. Is there anything you would have done differently in your 4 years of college?
I was wondering if you're going to turn the tables, but first, a man with such zeal like you is going to, of course, always feel like you may have left a stone unturned because you're so diligent and thorough in making sure that you've made the most out of opportunities and really taken some knowledge and taken some wisdom to learn and to adapt and to grow yourself. If I look at the last 4 years specifically and from a regret standpoint, it's hard to say specifically that one regrets something because it just implies that there's a dissatisfaction with it. But I would contend that I could have been far more studious, far more disciplined when it comes to that. And I would probably have to leave it at that because just the nature of the beast is that I will push off anything for the sake of if the opportunity comes down to further something related to people, I will do that before doing the paper that was probably due 2 weeks ago. So for me, like, and if you're a teacher of mine and listening to this, like you know that I just don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm sorry. And it's kind of funny because it's like the most unproductive thing to do from the school perspective is to not do school well. And it's not that I don't do it well. Like, what I do is great, but the regret would be to not have developed habits that would have benefited me in the future of, like, meeting deadlines and making sure that I am managing my time efficiently and doing things like that, because I don't say no to things, and I tend to take a lot out and just go for it. And sometimes the thing that I put in the back burner is that which I'm here to do. Like, I'm here to do school. I neglect school. It doesn't even make sense. But that would be my biggest regret, to answer your question. It's kind of counterintuitive, I guess. So, Sean, you're starting a podcast. If you could interview one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Could be a big name. It could be, you know, whomever. It could be the corner store guy. It could be whoever. Like, I don't
okay.
know.
You know, like I said earlier, when you first asked about my podcast, I said I would interview my family and my family heritage. I would probably interview my family members who I did not get to meet but who lived just extraordinary lives. I think, for instance, of my grandfather who was a lawyer, who was loving father of eight children, and just knowing what motivated him, what got him up every day to do just the heartfelt and just tremendous work that he did. I think that would be really meaningful to me, you know, in our family. You know, I talk about it a lot, but it would be really special for me to, you know, have that time and, you know, hopefully kind of figure out, you know, what to do in the future, how to, you know, return the love and the opportunities that we've been given, you know. I think that would be a good opportunity.
Yeah. Sean, that's awesome. That's so awesome, man. It's you're really family-oriented, and I really appreciate that about you. I've always appreciated that about you. It's really powerful, so don't, not really, I hope you never lose that.
Okay.
No, I mean it. Yeah, for real. It's good stuff.
Appreciate it. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Sean. So we've been talking for a little bit here now. I love your sense of gratitude. I always contend that we live happier lives if we are grateful. What is your one piece of advice to anyone that's listening? Mm-hmm. You would text me before this, and you would ask me who the audience is, and the audience is whoever ends up listening to this. I responded very ambiguously to you, and I just told you that based upon what we say, there will be a certain crowd that listens or does not listen, and that's just how it goes. And that's the luxury of a podcast, is that we can just, you know, spit fire, and this is what it is. So what is your one piece of advice to any listener out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, based on some of the things I've been saying that you've been saying about, you know, being studious, I think is just sacrifice who you are for who you can become. You know, we all have that disparity between, you know, the ideal version of ourselves and who we are now, and that's we have to have a higher aim, you know, a better purpose in order to go about life. You know, we can't, you know, it's good to be grateful, but at the same time we need to realize, we need to be conscious of those opportunities that we've missed. So I would say sacrifice who you are for who you could be 10 years down the line, or even 10 days from now. You know, we all have something we could start doing or stop doing, you know, these, like, putting things off till tomorrow. I'm guilty of that as well, you know, meeting those midnight deadlines. But, you know, I think that just making those small incremental steps that will help us, we'll thank ourselves for tomorrow. And that way we can help others too, you know. I think I'd give that advice to anybody, but I need to live that as well. And just sacrifice who you are for who you could become, you know. I tell my younger siblings all the time, you know, you're so brilliant, you have so much potential, you know, you do all these sports, all these games, but, you know, you need to apply yourself and just find what, you know, sets your soul on fire, find something that will help you to be the best you could be, because at the end of the day, it's all about bringing out the best in people and, you know, looking for the best in people, because, you know, they'll forget what you say on video or in person, but they'll never forget how you made them feel, so you need to make them feel valued and capable, you know, recognizing the greatness in them, that, you know, you sometimes need a different person to bring that out. You know, you can't just get through it on your own. You gotta make that sacrifice and, you know, just do it for not just yourself, but do it for others. Be a person for others. So,
yeah. Dude, Sean, yeah, so sacrifice who you are for who you want to become and do it for others. That's some wholesome, powerful messaging that you're sharing with all of us. Sean, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on the Chats with Clark podcast. Is there anything you want to say before we close it off? It's been a wonderful, productive conversation for us.
I would just, well, first of all, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here. I always love learning from those who are older than I am, wiser than I am. I would just say, what advice would you give to yourself 2 years ago, even? If there's one, yeah. What advice would you give to yourself 2 years ago? I'd love to know. Because you got a great thing going. You know, you're inspiring so many people. You told me, you know, there's things you do differently. You weren't studious, but here you are reaching all these people, changing lives, who will in turn change the lives of others, you know. So I would just say, what would you say to yourself a few years back?
Yeah, it would probably go along those lines. It would be something along the lines of not learning things the hard way. And I always dabble with this analogy of touching a hot stove. Like, some people don't touch the stove, and then there's plenty of people like myself that like to, you know, put my hand on the stove to find out that it's hot. as opposed to just taking the words of not touching the stove kind of thing. So my advice, and I've received that advice from a plethora of people, to my mom, who I'm sure is watching this, from my uncle, who relates with me, and a plethora of great people. So I would say to heed that advice, and that would resultantly have prevented maybe some difficult times within the college studies realm. So I appreciate the question.
Yeah, you know, I think there's, all of us can look at those things we could do better, but, you know, it's the end of the year, you know, we're all together for a few more weeks. I think it's good to be grateful as well, you know, for those small victories every day, and just be content with yourself and all the people you're reaching out to. You know?
Amen.
Yeah.
So when we wake up tomorrow, we're going to think of Sean. Sean Patterson, thanks for being here. We're going to wake up tomorrow, like I said, and we're going to give thanks for you and for the gift of life itself. So I appreciate you being here again. And for all of you tuning in, don't forget to hit the like, subscribe. Whether you are on Apple Podcasts, whether you're on Spotify, wherever you are, subscribe. Drop a review below. I would love to hear see the five-star review, see what you have to say, any comments or feedback. And of course, if you're on YouTube, same thing. Throw something in the comment section. I'd love to interact with all of you. Sean, thanks again.
Thank you, Joe. You're doing great work.
Appreciate it. Thanks.